Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's our great friend, Stephen. They're calling him the assassin in the comments. So Stephen Assassin Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports. Stephen, it's been too long. How are you, my friend?
Mike, I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you. You know, some of us have been working hard while others are on the beach. Nobody in particular. but no, excited to talk to you, especially with the Athlon Sports magazine out on the newsstands. And not to mention, man, it's been a pretty newsworthy past couple weeks in college football for like May, as we're supposed to be in the offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. And thanks to our buddy, I got his handle here, JP. He's doing all our sound effects. We've got new Stephen Lassen sound effects.
Joining SEC Mike, here's that SEC podcast special guest, Stephen Lassen.
Yeah, so you know you've made it, Stephen, when you got your own sound effect on the show. You know what?
Man, I love it. Thank you. Man, thanks for getting that on there. That's a pretty cool little way to start the show.
Yeah, so hey, any updates? You know, Carolina jackpot. Why can't you find the magazine in upstate South Carolina? I went to the store myself, Stephen, because I was going to proudly display my Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine. I went to, I don't even know if it's Barnes & Noble's or Books A Million. I think it's Books A Million. I think it might be the same thing. Who knows? But I went to my local one today. And I didn't see it either. But any update on when we could get these magazines in our hands?
I've got it right here.
Yeah.
some guy named Arch Manning on the cover. I think somebody might be high on him this year. Mike, I have been told that they are on newsstands. I have seen people with them out so far, but I will tell you that it does take a couple time. You know, it may take a little bit of time for some of them to filter out. Like the official date is May 23rd, but often they hit newsstands a little bit later in some locations. Because I looked for it last week and actually couldn't find it. So I would say stay tuned. It's coming. And also, if you do want to order one, you can go to athlonsports.com at the very top. Magazines takes you to our store. I mentioned this before. I promise I'm not trying to like induce people to buy magazines. We will sell out of our SEC covers. We have two of them. So if you do want one, I would encourage you to order from our online store.
Yeah. And as soon as we're done here, Stephen, I'll comment a link. I'll provide that link for the cousins. I'll pin it to this video. So if you're watching back, you want to get you a magazine over at Athlon Sports. That's a way to guarantee not only the magazine, but the cover you want. Just check in the comments as soon as this episode is published. But all right, so we're going to go over. Steven is the one. Don't yell at me. Hell, I know you will anyway. But don't yell at me. These are the Athlon Sports official SEC predictions. And Steven is the man responsible for them. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. Wanted to ask you, Stephen, though, your thoughts, if you had any, on SEC spring meetings. You trolled me for being down there. I didn't get much work done, to be honest with you. I was on the beach, like you said. But between me drinking on the beach, did anything actually happen at spring meetings that caught your eye last week?
Mike, I think we are in an interesting kind of high stakes standoff right now in college football. Over the playoff format and sort of the dominoes that go along with it. The 8-9 games in the SEC, you also have this battle over strength of schedule and valuing things, different things for the selection committee. And then, of course, there's the actual format, like 14-16, and there's that stupid 4-4-3-3-2 or 4-4-2-2, whatever the numbers are. But you also have others, like the 5 and 5 guaranteed spots and 11 at largest. So I say we're in a high-stakes standoff because it feels like everybody is kind of coalescing around that 5 and 11 model going to 16 teams in the playoff. And then along with that is you have the divide, like the divide of the coaches and the administrators. Coaches don't really seem too crazy about the 9 games, but the administrators do. Obviously, revenues is a big part of that. So it feels like all of these dominoes are going to fall. And it kind of feels like where this is going to go is like 16 teams, that 5 plus 11 format, 9 games in the SEC, but also the SEC gets the changes that it wants to honor a little bit harder strength of schedule and to take that into account. And hey, I think there's actually like the BCS formula using some computers, using analytics. I think it's good. I think that you need to take into account the strength of schedule difficulty for the SEC. So no complaints there. I would love to see 9 conference games, and I think 16 teams is too much for a playoff, but I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah, and it was funny, Stephen, I don't know if you saw this or any of the cousins, but Greg Sankey was asked about that during the spring meetings about the BCS and the rankings, and I think he said, well, thanks to the BCS, Auburn didn't get in the national championship at 1 year when there was 3 undefeateds, and then one of the reporters said, well, yeah, but the LSU got in the year previous when they may have not deserved, thanks to the BCS. So, again, I don't know what the answer is. You know, obviously we wouldn't have that. Florida State experienced it a couple years ago, too, going undefeated, not making the college football playoff. That's the only thing I can celebrate with this expanded playoff and even more to 16, which, good Lord, I mean, money wins in the end, as always. But, you know, even a Boise or a Troy team or, you know, a Sun Belt team, whatever, if you go undefeated, you're going to make a 16 field. That's the only positive I can get from it.
More college football is never bad. I do think we run the risk of watering down the regular season quite a bit at 16, and I have concerns about that at 12. The other thing is, Mike, there's no perfect system for college football. It's like such a weird sport, and 136 teams going from UMass all the way to Hawaii and all the conferences and different financial resources. So there's no perfect system, but I do think just on a personal level, like having more SEC on SEC games, you're going to have more losses. So also, like, how does that account into the strength of schedule and the playoff? And we saw this last year with Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. So I think those are all changes that are worth fighting for if you're the SEC. And then I think ultimately, like I said, more college football is never a bad thing. I'm not necessarily crazy about what it could mean for the regular season at 16, though. Probably good for the SEC and for SEC Mike as a whole, though, for more SEC teams getting in.
Oh, yeah. All right, so again, we're going to get to the Athlon Sports College Football SEC prediction in just a second. But I also asked Stephen to come prepared with a bold prediction. Thank you, Stephen, for not coming with a 5-minute diatribe like Shane did on. I don't know what the hell that was. I mean, it was well done, but I asked him for a bold prediction a couple hours before that. I figured he would, you know, he'd say Tennessee going 19-0, you know, next. But he actually puts, you know, a ton of thought into his. But I'm curious to know where you're going this week, Stephen. This new segment that we have, Stephen's bold prediction for the upcoming college football season.
Mike, I count about 6 coaching situations in the SEC that are interesting this year, like hot seat, getting warm, you know, some interesting things could happen. I'm going to say that at least 3 teams will have new coaches next year.
Ooh.
Is that bold enough?
I don't think so, Stephen. It's funny because that was you're going completely opposite Shane's. If you missed it, his bold prediction is 0 coaches in the SEC get fired. That was too bold for. I told him they're over unders 3.5. I think we're going over. I think we're going over. Give me 4 or 5 new coaches in the SEC.
You know, I debated going higher, and I think it was. It's not just like the firings that could happen. It's the domino effect of, okay, this job could open, what coach could leave for another one, and also what could happen outside the SEC with some of these jobs. So that might be a little low. I guess I'm kind of like easing into the bold prediction segment. I don't want to be too bold and melt the internet just yet. So we'll go with at least three teams change coaches next year.
Okay. No, I like it. And again, I didn't ask you to, you know, exactly identify those guys, but just name one. Who is, if 3 happen, which coach are you guaranteeing is among that 3?
As much as I hate to say this, I could probably see Sam Pittman out at Arkansas just based upon like schedule, like question marks, over unders coming into the season. I mean, I look at last year and I go, man, they had that nice bounce back, but it was so much turnover. The schedule difficulty, It wouldn't surprise me if Arkansas maybe falls short of a bowl game. They make a coaching change. So I think that one's probably top of my radar. And if you, you know, the other thing with this is like looking at Florida and Oklahoma and the difficulty of those schedules, those two jobs and how the season plays out will be fascinating to the dominoes. Because if you talk about a job like a Florida, like an Oklahoma opening up, then you start getting to major dominoes around them because other coaches will leave for those jobs. And who knows what that could happen in the food chain of college football coaching.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think you've tipped your hand a little bit, I think, here on the Athlon Sports SEC predictions. So let's get into it, Stephen. And we got a sound effect for old Sanchez too. He's a Texas guy. So let's do Texas first. But before we do, shout out JP. He gave us this sound effect.
Sancho or Sancho, it really doesn't matter. You, sir, are a legend.
That's great.
So I hope you like that one, Sancho. Thank you so much. Ted, gifted memberships. Bear with me here, Stephen. Brenton was gifted a membership. Aggie, man. Oh, Sancho's not going to like that. Chris, Robert, Gatlin, Bivens, Joval64, Fence General. What a name. Dr. Red, I think. I love that. Tom Ross and Wesley Phelps and Texas 3805. You have all been gifted memberships thanks to the legend Sancho's. Stephen, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Thanks to the legend Sancho's. We appreciate you, buddy.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, welcome to the family. This is it's growing at Mike. It's great to see as we get closer to the football season how big the family's getting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Although a lot of family members might be mad at me after the show. So,
yeah, blames again. All your hate mail, send it to Stephen Lassen at Athlon Sports. Do not send it to me. So, because Sancho's is a Texas diehard, let's go with them first, Stephen. Where do you project Texas in the official Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine?
This one is easy, Mike. Number one in the SEC, number one overall, and my pick to win the national championship.
Oh, are you just saying that because Sancho just gave 10 memberships, or do you really believe it?
Maybe it's a little bit of both, you know? This has been my preseason pick for a while. I think the SEC gets back on top of college football this season, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Texas, whether it's LSU or Alabama. I think an SEC team gets back on top. Reasons why I like Texas. I've made no bones about my affinity for Arch Manning raising the offensive firepower of Texas with his maybe bringing a little bit more big playability to the offense. I just love, you know, the skill talent, Ryan Wingo, Jack Andres, the tight end from Cal. I think you can make a case they have the best, you know, defensive line, linebacker unit, secondary in the SEC. And of course, I just look at the program progression. They have been on the doorstep of playing for the national championship 2 years in a row. Doesn't guarantee success, but they've been knocking on the door. And I think given the upside that Arch Manning brings, this defense, I think they are the team to beat in the SEC and the national championship in 2025.
Wow. So let me ask you this, Stephen, because the Longhorns really attacked the portal in that spring window. I was surprised, I don't want to say inactive, but I was surprised by the level of activity in the first portal window. But it makes sense when you think about it. They played so deep into the season. They were probably more concentrated on that, whereas in the spring, I think they shored up any depth issues they may have felt they had. Was this your pick before the spring portal? Or maybe the better question is, how much did the spring portal affect your putting Texas number one in your preseason champion to win the national championship?
It's a good question. Let me take a step back for a second and talk about like the national picture, because I do think there's like 8 or 9 teams I could see winning the title this year, or at least playing for it, and Texas is one of them. I don't think the spring portal window changed a whole lot for me. I think if anything, I felt better about my pick. You know, I think at the end of last season, I had Ohio State and Texas kind of neck and neck. I think just the fact that they solidified some of those, you know, maybe depth issues up front, they went out and got a playmaker at receiver, tight end, they sort of just became a little bit more entrenched for me at that number one spot. So not necessarily maybe a thing that put them over the top. I felt good about them at one before, felt even better about it after.
Okay. Well, we already knew you loved Arch Manning, but we never knew the extent until today. So maybe at the end, I'll ask you, you know, your full playoff predictions here. But all right, Texas number one, man, no surprise from old Steven. He loves them Texas Longhorns. But let's see how much he loves the Aggies. Steven, Cousin Rick gave us $20. Thank you, Cousin Rick. Let me play this little jingle for you here. Ching. And we also got
Gum Aggies.
Yeah, thanks, Cousin Rick. It's the official start of the college football when Athlon magazine publishes. Gig 'em, Cousin Rick. So let's see. Don't lose Cousin Rick, Steven. Where you got A&M in the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine?
Mike, you can tell me if I'm wrong about this. I actually feel like I'm pretty high on Texas A&M. I've got them finishing eighth in the conference, which I think is in that third tier. Like, you got Florida, you got South Carolina, you got some others in there. So jumble those teams up kind of how you want, and I think they're all pretty close. But I've got them in the top 20 of college football. I've got them 19th overall. I think they might be a little bit underrated. I might even be underrating them in my rankings. I like what they did this offseason, though, at receiver, going out and getting two guys. Now you can devote to building Marcel Reed. You can go build the offense around him. It's his offense now. He's got weapons. You got to figure out what you have. He's in a good situation. Love this offensive line and running game. I think this could be one of the better offensive lines in the country and certainly one of the best backfields in the country as well. Interested on defense to see how the defensive line and secondary come together. I also like they have three key swing games at home: Missouri, South Carolina, and Florida. Like, they have a pretty favorable home slate there. Sorry, did I say Missouri? I meant Florida and South Carolina at home, and Auburn at home, not Missouri. So they have a favorable stretch of games at home, and I think as the coach scouting kind of hinted at, I think there's some culture kind of team growth we can expect to see in year two under Mike Elko. So I've got them eighth. I considered them as high as five in the SEC this season.
Hey, good news, Stephen. Hook'em 361 says Stephen is invited to the tailgate, free beer, free barbecue anytime. So we appreciate you, Hook'em.
Appreciate you.
But yeah, I mean, this is probably what they need, right, Stephen? I mean, they don't need all the hype. They don't need all the expectations. That's what we heap on A&M annually, and they come up short. So I see your logic. I think you're a little low on A&M, but hell, I'm always too high on A&M. So that probably means you're dead on. But I just think, I don't think they should be heaped much praise. But I think right where you got them, 19, you know, we shouldn't criticize this year's team just because of the last 10 years or so of underachieving. That's not on these players, but this is a team where I think they make the college football playoff. I really do, but I don't know if I've got the guts to pick it because, like I said, I always overrate them. So I think they're probably better off if I underrate them.
You know, I think to a point that you made there, we don't think we necessarily overrated them last year, but they come into the season thinking, you know, okay, they finished on a little bit of a down note. And I think most people outside of maybe College Station think, well, they kind of went into a dive. They're just, they really weren't that good. I don't think that's the case. Like, I think all their losses are kind of explainable. Like, if you just look at the sequencing and, you know, to be honest, I really don't pay much attention to what happens, like bowl games meaning anything long term for Texas A&M. But maybe that is true. Like, lower expectations come into the season with some program growth. Marcel Reed takes that next step forward. That early season game at Notre Dame is massive. But also, you know, they, like I said, they get Florida, they get South Carolina at home. If you think they're underdogs against LSU and Texas, I mean, they could be favored in the other nine games. So there's a pretty good chance that if they can pull off an upset and get to 10-2, they will definitely be in the playoff.
Well, speaking of Florida, toxic Gator fan Matthew gave us $5. Thank you, Matthew. I just want to see Matthew McConaughey cry on the sideline of Texas as Florida beats the shit out of him. Go Gators, chope. a gator bait. So let's do Florida, Stephen. Where does the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine got them gators?
Mike, I almost went all in on Florida making the playoff this year, but I came up one spot short. They are a number 11 nationally, number 5 in the SEC. And I considered them kind of as a tier 3 team behind the top 4. So, you know, kind of from Florida and some of these other teams we'll talk about through A&M, I thought they were all kind of tier 3 teams. They were pretty close. You can change a few W's and L's essentially, and they're all playoff contenders. I think what you like about Florida is the way they closed last season. Defense played at a different level. DJ Lagway's insertion into the starting lineup gives you more big playability offensively. Getting Eugene Wilson back is significant at receiver. Love this offensive line and running game. Jaden Bob, Jake Slaughter, center, two of the best in college football, I think, this year. So I am buying stock in Florida for sure. I think they build on last season. I do worry about that 4-game stretch early in the season, though. LSU at Miami, Texas, and at Texas A&M. That is a very, very difficult stretch for this Florida team, and a Florida team that, as a coach, still very much on the hot seat. If they go 0-4, I don't think they will. They are already out of the playoff mix, and who knows what that might mean long term for this program.
Yeah, bigger concern, Stephen, that 4-game stretch at LSU, at Miami, Texas at home, at A&M, that or the fact they got Billy Napier as a head coach. What's the bigger concern entering the season for the Gators?
Mike, I think it's that schedule. You can call me crazy, but I'm buying this Florida team. I think Napier turned a corner at the end of last season. Maybe that looks like the biggest idiot in the world, considering I thought that this was the best team that they had last year, and they got smoked by Miami and A&M, and I looked like an idiot for 2 months until they turned things around. So I'm buying Florida. I think this team, and I should say, this assumes that Lagway is healthy, because right, if he's not, throw that prediction all the way out the window.
Would you buy any into, again, Shane hates the Gators, but he said, well, last year, LSU overrated, Ole Miss overrated. I mean, that's kind of his argument. Is like, well, they had two nice wins, which I don't know why we're discrediting them. I'm not, but he is. But the fact that that maybe those wins are overrated, and hell, Florida State was god-awful, Tulane, they were pitiful in the bowl game. So all of a sudden, two good wins. Looks like they just went on an avalanche towards the end of the season, which they did. I mean, that's kind of how I see it. But would you buy it that maybe their finale was not as impressive as it looks on paper?
I have wrestled with that because, you know, like Tulane was kind of a shell of itself in the bowl game. And, you know, the turnovers, obviously, for Ole Miss. You had, some of the stretches that some of these SEC teams played, like we saw this with A&M and South Carolina and LSU, like by the end of the year, these stretches, you kind of run out of steam. So I do wonder about that, but I also think that if you just kind of look at the returning personnel and the potential of Lagway, it kind of overcame my concerns that small sample size being a little bit misleading, essentially.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shout out Cousin Gunner. He's an LSU guy, I believe. He says Texas going 12-1, Georgia 11-2, Bama 10-2, and LSU 10-2 make the playoff this year. The two SEC teams compete in the title game. That's my bold take. So for Gunner, let's do LSU. Stephen, where's Athlon Sports? Got them Tigers.
Mike, I think Gunner's going to like this prediction. We got him 7th nationally and 3rd in the SEC. I hate to use a phrase I just used, but I've been buying LSU stock all offseason. Maybe I'm like the only person that's doing this. I just look at this team and see, you know, defense got a little bit better last year, and now you get another offseason under Blake Baker. You've added guys like Patrick Payton, who can get after the quarterback in the trenches. They've added some guys in the secondary. Whit Weeks is one of the best linebackers in college football. How is Harold Perkins used? It remains a big mystery, but if Blake Baker can unlock that talent, you're talking about another defensive chess piece that you can move around. And offensively, Nussmeier plus these receivers, there's a ton of firepower here. am a little bit worried about how the offensive line is going to fare, especially against Clemson in the first game of the season, Clemson having one of the best defensive fronts, and also would like to see a little bit more balance offensively. You've got two good running backs in Durham and Barry, and need to see a little bit more to take some of that pressure off Garrett Nussmeier. So I think the combination of good quarterback play, better defense, I think LSU gets Brian Kelly to the playoff. They may not win that opener, but I think they get to the playoff this year.
Mm. Any reservations? Now, you followed Brian Kelly a lot longer than I have. I don't care about any Notre Dame coach. But since he's come down here, I mean, I thought he, you know, year one, knocked it out of the park, beat Nick Saban, won the West. But I am sitting here wondering, I've said it many times, Steven, I don't know if he's an elite coach. I think he's a very, very, very good coach. And that, you know, he should be, you know, given respect for that. But I don't believe he's an elite coach. Any reservation that, you know, maybe he's not that elite coach that can get LSU to the promised land?
It's a good question. I mean, I think the counter to that is I'm seeing Ed Orgeron and Les Miles hold up national championship trophies and thinking Brian Kelly is like light years better than both. I think he's probably like a top 12 coach nationally in college football. But I think your question is fair because the environment is just differently than it was a couple years ago. You know, it's a totally different era with the portal and NIL and managing the roster and just totally different things. Also, like, it's different to recruit at Notre Dame and compared to the SEC. So I think that it's fair to wonder, like, is he elite enough to lead LSU to the national championship? I have no questions about his ability to get this team to the playoff, and that's what I'm kind of expecting this year. But if they don't, fire Brian Kelly chance will get very loud probably come October or November.
Yep. All right, Dave, throw us a donation if you want your team to get thrown to the top of the list. Until then, I'm just going to pick random here. One team, this is for Cousin Shane. Steven's down on him. Tennessee! Where's all Tennessee in the Athlon Sports Preview Magazine?
Mike, I've got Tennessee as kind of in that fourth tier of teams, and that puts them at 21st nationally and 10th in the SEC. I don't think there is a ton of separation among teams 20 through 40 nationally, essentially. So Tennessee falls into this. I will say one thing that was hard about figuring out Tennessee is the Nico news hit kind of right as her magazine went to deadline. So we didn't have a ton of time to kind of dissect this. You know, we had about, you know, a week or so to kind of figure out kind of how to evaluate Tennessee. But I still think, you know, the scouting from opposing coaches in our magazine was still very high on Josh Heupel's ability to get the most out of Joey Aguilar in the offense and put together a team that is capable of winning 9 games again. I do think Tennessee, from a personnel perspective, you know, when you look at Dylan Sampson gone, you look at the question marks at receiver, offensive line, there are some massive question marks here. But if anything, the schedule prevents like a major drop-off, because I think they could be favored in 9 games, essentially. So I think the schedule prevents like a even worse bottoming out. If they can, even with Nico, I did not think this was a playoff team. So I think they fall short, but I think they're still a top 25 type team this year.
Cousin Tony says, take Steven out back and teach him how to bleed orange. I read that at first, like take you to the Outback Steakhouse. But no, I think he means behind the shed back here. But no, I mean, I'm kind of right there with you. I'm just kind of joking. I'm going into this season expecting Tennessee to take a step back. Obviously, just made the college football playoff. But, you know, I don't think the wheels are falling off. I think this program's on good footing. And kind of the more I think about it, Steven, I just go back and forth talking all this SEC all day, every day. But, you know, I'm almost like, well, is Josh Heupel, has he lost it? Is he still elite? But then I sit here and say, well, I mean, he's adjusted. A lot of these guys don't adjust, you know, and that's their downfall. They're, you know, Gus Malzahn's not in this conference anymore. He was a hell of a coach. He refused to adapt. His ass is gone. I think Hugh Freeze, you know, he was great. Run the tempo, run the read option. I think college football's caught up to him. I think he's going to be gone soon. So Heupel, I give him credit. I should give him more credit. I've already said I think he's a top 10 coach, but I think adapting to his personnel last year, being a defense running team, now he's going to have to adapt again because I don't think he's obviously not going to have the same team. So I'm fascinated to see what Tennessee looks like. And again, I'm expecting a step back, but they could be similar. They could go 9-3, 10-2. Wouldn't stun me either, given the schedule and given the overall talent.
I think what's interesting about Tennessee is I think not necessarily that they're playing with house money, but they're going to come into the season, I think, with semi lowish expectations. I mean, we've got them in our top 25. I wouldn't be surprised if some people have them out. I think a lot of people would doubt this team given the personnel losses, the Nico thing. But also, I think the one thing I kept coming back to when we were struggling to evaluate Tennessee was Josh Heupel's ability to get the most out of the roster. Instead of being a, you know, rigid and sort of stuck to your offensive system, you adapt, you go with the run game, you go with the defense. So I think there ought to be a lot of optimism they can do that again. It's going to be a little bit harder given some of the other personnel turnover and some of the other questions we mentioned. But I think the schedule, adaptability, and I think Heupel will get enough out of Joey Aguilar to keep them in that 8-9 win range. I will say, I think the Tennessee-Oklahoma game could be very important to the final standings in the SEC this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steven, how about this? We got a question from cousin Robert Mackenberg. Mike, Steven, how many people are down on Mizzou this year due to the new faces on offense? New quarterback Bo Prabula, your thoughts? Big potential or bust? And before you answer, Steven, you know, this is another one I've been thinking about because I really like Brady Cook. Remember, I was the idiot that thought I put him number one in the quarterback rankings last offseason because of the pieces around him, year two in the offensive system. I thought they were going to go gangbusters on the offensive side of the football. But, you know, you go back and watch Missouri, Brady Cook was, I think it's pretty obvious he was injured. He just wasn't the same player, and Missouri failed to live up the expectations. But hell, failed to live up to the expectations, but they still won 10 games. That's where you're at as a Missouri fan. You know, you can win 10 games in it and still not be the year you think it was. What's your thoughts on Bo Prabula, Steven, given this offense and this team that he's going to be playing with here in Columbia?
I think the first thought that comes to my mind is trying to figure out Missouri's offense from last season, just because, you know, they dropped in SEC play by almost 2 yards a play from that group in 2023. So just getting it back on track, I think, is going to be really crucial. And I think that's kind of the mystery about this team, you know, is the quarterback position, because we'll get into their prediction in a minute because I don't feel great about it, but I think we kind of explained it. I think it'll make a little bit more sense. I think if we knew what Missouri was getting out of Bo Prabula, I think I would pick them a little bit higher. Essentially, I like them as a top 25-ish type team. I don't think there's a ton of difference between 20 and 40. But I think what you get out of Prabula is somebody who can run. I think he's proven that at Penn State. He was a change of pace player. If nothing else, he can come in right away and do that as he adjusts to this offense in the SEC. I think the mystery with that is that sounds great in non-conference play. It probably works. It doesn't probably work over 8 games in the SEC. So how do you balance that with getting more out of him as a passer? We just didn't see enough of him at Penn State over a full season sample size to say he can do this and this consistently or well enough. I think he's really talented and I like the upside here, but it's also a big mystery. If anything, maybe if you're Missouri, you could say Sam Horn is also pretty promising too. So if Prabula doesn't work out, Sam Horn can also maybe be a nice little fallback option too.
All right, well, since cousin Robert gave us a donation, Steven, why don't you break down where the Athlon Sports College Football Preview Magazine has the Tigers?
So I don't feel great about this, Mike. We've got them 12th in the SEC and 32nd nationally. So that's basically a top 25 team, thinking about 8-4-ish for this team. And a lot of it just comes back to quarterback play. Well, we can come back to the offense for a second, but I actually really like this defense. I think this defense is loaded, and I think it could be even better than last season. Darius Smith, you know, Damon Wilson coming off the edge. You have Chris McClellan in the middle. I like what they have on this side of the ball. This offense makes me a little bit worried, especially after the way they played last year. if Brady Cook was just injured, it's not a scheme thing or a thing with Kirby Moore, they can maybe overcome that. But they've got some question marks in the offensive line. They've got a quarterback mystery. I also think the road schedule, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Auburn's pretty tricky. That's like four toss-up games that could kind of go either way. I do think I'm taking the over on Missouri this year. I think the question is, are they 8-4 or are they 9-3? If they're 9-3, they're finishing in the top 25. If they're 8-4, they're probably closer to being just outside, and that's kind of where we have them right now.
Well, I'll tell you who I'm taking the over on, Steven, and that is Cousin JR.
Legend Cousin JR has done it again.
This time, Steven, he has gifted a membership to Cousin Russ. Oh, man, this is going to be a tough one to pronounce. THBKPR. I don't no idea how to say that. But Cousin Russ, welcome to the family. Thanks to the legend, JR.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
And then Cousin Gunner also gifted a membership. Thank you, Cousin Gunner. This time to Foster the Person. Foster, welcome to the family. Appreciate you guys for gifting a membership. Man, what a giving time. This is the perfect time, Steven, with the Athlon Sports Preview magazine out. Everybody's undefeated. Everybody's feeling good. I can feel the love. Can you feel the love?
I can. I'm hoping nobody gets too mad at me tonight when we get done with the show and I have everybody yelling at me. I will tell you a funny story. I've already seen, you know, we posted some stuff on our site about, 2025 and some of the early optimistic comments are like, you know, Virginia's going to win the ACC. And I'm like, whew, it really is like, you know, the off season, everybody's really optimistic, aren't we? So, hey, bring it on, right?
Well, I wanted to be so positive because we're about to get negative, unfortunately. Yeah. Cousin Sven, appreciate you, buddy. 8 months subscribed to the channel. What a legend. Clear cut number 16 in the SEC. My Mississippi State super bums. Maybe Sankey gives Texas our schedule next 2 years and we see a 6-6 team in Austin. That'd be fantastic. Where do you got Mississippi State in the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine?
Mike, I hate to be Mr. Negative here for Mississippi State, but 16th is right. And unfortunately for Mississippi State fans, it was a pretty easy decision to put them at 16. Saying all that, I do think they will be better this year. I know it's the curve of getting better, it's pretty, you know, low based upon what happened last year, just how bad they were defensively. But I do think we'll see some strides here. And I think when I start thinking about this schedule, you know, I think it's really important to just take care of business against Southern Miss in week one. I think that, you know, Southern Miss under new coach Charles Huff could be one of the most improved teams in the Sun Belt. It's dangerous. G5 on the road. If you can maybe pick off like an Arizona State in there, maybe make kind of like a mini run, win one game in SEC play, that's a pretty successful season. I know I've mentioned this before, but this to me looks really like year one for Jeff Lebby because of all the change last year. So I expect the offense to be better with Blake Shapen healthy. I think defensively, you need to see a massive step forward for this team to have any chance at bowl eligibility. The good news is they brought in a lot of transfers. They almost have to be better by default. I just don't think it's going to be enough to get to that 6-win mark they need to go bowling.
Yeah, so safe to say you were not high on the retention of Coleman Hustler.
Very, very fair to say that. It's one of the unsolved mysteries of the SEC for 2025 is why somebody else is not calling the defensive signals at Mississippi State.
Yep. All right. How about a lot of Oklahoma people in the comments, Stephen? We appreciate the love from Norman. Where does the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine got the Sooners?
Mike, I think a lot of Oklahoma fans are going to be really happy with me. So let's get right to it. I've got them 9th in the SEC, but that puts them 20th nationally. They lead that kind of fourth tier that I was kind of mentioning with Tennessee and a few other teams here. I have been steadily buying into this Oklahoma team all offseason, and I might end up looking like a total idiot by November. But I think just, you know, at the most basic level for this team, one of the top defenses in the conference last year, they were 13th in the nation last year in defensive success rate. So they were one of the top defenses in the college football, but their offense completely bottomed out. I'm just going to bank on the baseline for this group is significantly higher, given that they've improved at offensive coordinator. They've got a quarterback who I think, while he may not be putting up the numbers that he did at Washington State, I think he's going to have a nice season at Oklahoma. Deion Burks is healthy. They've got Jaden Ott, a dynamic running back, and they can't be as bad as they were on the offensive line. I am very worried about the schedule, but count me in as saying Brent Venables will have this defense playing at a high level, and the offense is much better, and that gets Oklahoma back into the top 25.
Mm. I know this is like an impossible question, Stephen, but if they didn't have this damn gauntlet, like if they had Ole Miss schedule or Missouri schedule or something like that, I guess what I'm really asking you is like, is Oklahoma potentially playoff caliber, but just given some of these road games and well, quite frankly, all the games, you know, is that the biggest hurdle to predicting the Sooners to make the college football playoff?
I think it's one of the factors. I think the other factor is if we had a year of data on Arbuckle and Mateer in the SEC, it's just so different, like at Washington State playing a Mountain West schedule than coming to the SEC and playing that gauntlet week after week. So I think if the schedule was a little bit easier, you know, I have them 20th. I probably would have them a little bit closer to maybe the top 15. But I think given the mystery surrounding the offense, it would give me a little bit of pause about predicting them as a playoff team.
Mm. Okay. Well, you hate the Sooners, I guess. All right. How about let's do South Carolina. Jesse's in the comments here. Cousin Jesse, do it for Cousin Jesse, Steven. You got South Carolina repeating or possibly doing even better than last year?
Mike, I've got South Carolina just missing the playoff again. We've got them finishing sixth in the SEC and 12th nationally. I did have a hard time evaluating South Carolina. And there's kind of this thing going on when we evaluate them. They lose so much on defense. You know, they lose defensive tackles. They're losing pretty much everybody at linebacker, Eamon Worry at safety. They've got some question marks in the offensive line, receivers. I mean, I could keep going. But every time when I kept coming back to South Carolina, I just kept saying, Lenore Sellers is the type of quarterback that can elevate this team into playoff contention. Essentially, yeah, you've got all these questions, but just ride Lenore Sellers into playoff contention and what is a very difficult schedule. So I am a little bit worried about them. I do like the fact they get Clemson, Oklahoma, and Alabama at home. You and I have also talked about their schedule being backloaded and Shane Beamer's team's getting better during the season. That factored in for me as well. So a little bit of unease about picking South Carolina this high, given all the personnel losses, but Lenore Sellers basically put some of those concerns to rest for me.
Mm-hmm. And I asked Cousin Shane this recently, so I'll ask you as well, Stephen. If you don't have any other information to go off of, but I can guarantee you that Lenore Sellers is the best quarterback in the SEC, would you have South Carolina in the playoff?
When you say best quarterback, are we talking a season similar to the one that Cam Newton had that maybe is not as statistically as dominant, but it's in the same atmosphere?
Yeah, or Joe Burrow, you know, when he went off, or Tim Tebow, or insert any excellent quarterback. Like, I'm talking maybe even like if winning the Heisman, maybe that, you know, that's difficult to do, but let's say Heisman finalist for sure. If you knew Sellers was, that's what I'm giving you, that information, how high can the Gamecocks go?
I'd pick them to make the playoff, I think. I think if that's the case, they could beat Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson at home, lose to LSU and maybe a Texas A&M, finish 10-2 and make the playoff then.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what I wanted to hear, Steven. So, all right. Hey, how about this? I'm fascinated to see where you got Ole Miss, given that all the lack of returning production there in Oxford. Where does the Athlon Sports College Football Preview Magazine got the Rebels?
I've got Ole Miss at 18th nationally, and that puts them 7th in the SEC. So they are kind of in that tier 3. And to kind of run through those teams, I thought teams in that third tier were Florida, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. There was a little bit of separation between Texas A&M and Oklahoma, given some of the uncertainty at Oklahoma. But I think picking Ole Miss seventh is just a sign of trust in Lane Kiffin. Yes, they have only four returning starters. They have a ton of guys departing off of a team that was very capable of making the playoff. I think they're going to reload. And I think a lot of that starts with Austin Simmons. I like the upside here. May not be all SEC this year, but I think he's just going to get better and better as the weeks go on. I'm a little bit concerned about the offensive line in the secondary. I think that's the two groups I'm going to be watching early in the season. They're at Georgia, but I do think some of those tougher games being at home gives them a chance to pull off an upset or two, especially when you get Florida, you get South Carolina at home in November. By then, I think we'll have a better idea of where this Ole Miss team is. So favorable home games, growth by Austin Simmons, trust in Kiffin, trust in Pete Golding. That's why Ole Miss is 18th in my rankings.
Mm-hmm. And any chance they, I don't even know if it would be a stunner. Like you said, given Kiffin's track record, you know, they're seemingly annually winning 9-10 games. But, you know, if somehow, some way they get even better record-wise, may not be a better overall team because I don't know if they got 20 NFL players on their roster like they had last year. But any chance that the record is better, maybe just by not slipping up and losing games they should be winning?
I think the record could be. It also wouldn't surprise me if they finish 9-3 again, because that kind of seems like, if I'm picking them 18th, it seems like 9-3 is probably about right. You know, I will go back to something you and I have talked about a lot, which is sometimes when it's supposed to happen, it doesn't happen. And then it happens when you don't expect it to. And it wouldn't surprise me, like, if Ole Miss gets hot and they beat LSU at home, they lose to Georgia and Oklahoma, but you beat South Carolina and Florida, there's 10-2. I would assume they sweep the other games and don't have like a crazy loss at Kentucky. But I think that, yeah, it would not surprise me at all if they get back to 9-3 or they get to 10-2 this year, given schedule and given the upside potentially from Austin Simmons.
Well, you know what else also doesn't surprise me, Steven, is the generosity from Cousin Rick coming through. Man, what a guy, Rick. We appreciate you. Just gave us $100, Steven. Love the show, the cousins, and SEC football. We love you, Cousin Rick.
Thanks, Cousin Rick.
I know we already hit A&M, Stephen, but I mean, for a donation of this size, we got to shift the narrative back to the Aggies real quick. What's it going to take for the Aggies to get to, what questions do you have about A&M that if you had the answers, you would be predicting A&M to go to the college football playoff? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think three things come to my mind. Obviously, I know everyone's going to talk about Marcel Reed, and that is really important. But I'm wondering, after the way the defense played at the end of last season, what is the level of involvement by Mike Elko? It seems like he's going to be more involved. I think the question is like how much, and you know, what does that mean for the defense as a whole? When you lose guys like Nick Scorton, Shamar Turner, Shamar Stewart, you know, the SEC is such a line of scrimmage league. And you look at the quarterbacks they could play and the offenses, like early in the season at Notre Dame. I mean, Auburn's got great receivers. We'll see about the quarterback play. They'll play Lagway. They'll play Nussmeier. They'll play Taylen Green on the road. You know, and of course, you know, Arch Manning at the end of the year, too. That is a loaded slate of quarterbacks to be facing. So how does your front reload? Because it's also in tandem with your secondary. I mean, we saw this with A&M last year, up and down in the secondary. You know, they had some guys hurt, especially Tyreek Chappell early in the year, getting him back, getting some transfers in. What does that mean? So to me, it's almost like two parts on defense. You got your reloading your defensive front and your secondary. If I knew that those two groups were going to be, I guess if the defensive front was better at stopping the run, secondary is better, I think you could say, okay, yeah, I think we're too low on them at 19th. And then the big one is Marcel Reed. I mean, just looking at the quarterbacks in this league, I mean, I'm going to redo my quarterback rankings at some point, and he might end up being like the 9th or 10th best quarterback. There's also like 12 really good quarterbacks potentially in the league this year. So his play to me is just really the ultimate wild card for A&M, because if he's good, if the receivers are better, Colin Klein's offense clicks, A&M can go on the road and beat a Notre Dame. They could go, beat Florida, beat South Carolina, beat LSU and make the playoff this year.
And what should really help him is his new weapon that he has, Kevin Concepcion. What can you tell us based on his time at NC State, what the level of impact he could have if he realizes his full potential in College Station?
Yeah, I really like this pickup for Texas A&M, largely because he is an all-purpose type of weapon for Texas A&M. I think, I don't want to compare him to Percy Harvin or anything like that, but I think you could see him used in sort of like the run game on some sweeps. You could see him using the short stuff, letting him break a tackle or make a play off of that. And then also being able to help you on special teams too. He's someone who could maybe take a return to the house, giving you a little bit more dynamic ability. So I think when you pair that with like Mario Craver's ability to get downfield, you can kind of see where this is going. A&M just needs some difference makers at receiver, and that's kind of what you get from those two this year. It feels like both of them have the ability to raise the bar in this passing game.
And then one final thing I've got on A&M. What is your thoughts on offensive coordinator Colin Klein? Because some people love him, some people hate him. I'm kind of when they were running the ball on literally everybody, the first 2 months of the season, I said, this guy's great. And then later at the end of the year, you're like, oh, I don't know if it's the guy. What's your read on year one at A&M? And then, of course, he had a ton of success at Kansas State that you would know a lot more than I would about that. What's your thoughts on Colin Klein as offensive coordinator?
This, I will admit, this stat kind of surprised me at the end of the season, is looking at SEC only games and seeing that Texas A&M actually led the conference in scoring last year at 29.4. There's a lot of room for growth here from some of these offenses. So if you were to just look at the stat sheet, you go, oh, okay, yeah, like that's pretty good. But I think if you watch during the season, there was definitely a lot that needed to be worked on or to be desired. I think when I go think about his time at Kansas State, I thought about like the adaptability, being able to just, and that's, I know it's kind of a cliche, but it's, being able to maximize the run game when it's there, being able to take advantage of some of the matchups in the passing game. I thought he did a nice job of doing that at K-State. And that's kind of why I like the hire at A&M, is because being able, Mike Elko wants to be a hard-nosed, team. That's kind of the identity that they can set. I think maybe we will find out more this year, because he has the personnel in place to have a better offense. Like year two, this thing could really take off given the additions at receiver, the veteran line, the running backs coming back. So I don't want to say make or break, but it definitely feels like we'll get a better sense of where they want to go offensively this year.
Mm. All right. Hey, how about for Cousin JR, big Georgia fan? I have a feeling I know where you're going to predict them in the Athlon Sports Preview Magazine, but where do you got them dogs, Steven?
Got them number two in the SEC, number four nationally. So we're thinking back to making a run at the national championship this year. I considered putting Georgia at two and putting Texas at one, or reversing it. I don't think there's a ton of separation between Texas and Georgia. I know a lot of people are going to come into the season, and myself included, will say Georgia has a lot more question marks than normal. My counter to that is this Georgia roster is still pretty loaded, and I trust Kirby Smart to figure things out defensively with some of the personnel turnover. And then offensively, I think the combination of, yes, they have four new offensive line starters. They have a new quarterback. I think their receivers though will be a lot better and more consistent this year. So if you can get something, a little bit more consistency out of the ground game, you can ease Gunnar Stockton into this season. Combine that with the receiving core, just a ton, too much talent here. I think Georgia will make a deep run at the national championship this year.
How big could that game be though in Athens when Texas comes to town, in terms of, obviously it's going to be a big game, but in terms of your predictions here, Texas one, Georgia two, are you favoring Texas as of today to win that game in Athens, or would you lean Georgia?
I would lean Georgia in the regular season and Texas in the SEC championship game. Here's the other thing, Mike. I actually think they could play three times this year. They play regular season, SEC, and national championship, or a playoff semifinal. So it's kind of the weird thing about doing these predictions is sometimes you look and say, I don't necessarily like them to win the conference necessarily or win that game. But if they get to the playoff and given the path, they might be the pick given what they could face. So little interesting twist on the season, but I think Georgia and Texas, in my mind, were the two best teams in the conference.
Heck, maybe if they keep expanding this thing, maybe they could play four times in a year, Steven, just for you. But all right. Now I'm just looking at blank slots here. So how about Arkansas? Where's Athlon Sports got Arkansas?
Got Arkansas 13th in the SEC and 39th nationally. You know, hard to sort out Arkansas and the team that's just right behind them in the standings. And I think when you study this team, a lot of your hopes go to Taylen Green plus Bobby Petrino. Year two, this offense really takes off. A lot of new faces, you know, receiving core. Defensively, I think there are some questions with this group. I also think they could play 10 bowl teams, projected bowl teams this year. That schedule's pretty hard. I mean, Memphis, not an easy team to get in non-conference play. They get Notre Dame, Arkansas State under SEC legend Butch Jones in week two. So this is a very, very difficult schedule for a team that has question marks on both lines of scrimmage, in the receiving core and in the secondary. So a lot of this hinges on Taylen Green just kind of doing what we talked about with South Carolina, as Sellers picks him up, puts him on his back and carries them. It's really Taylen Green kind of elevating this team into the next kind of territory, which would be 8-4. And that's kind of why we think they're a lot closer to probably 6, maybe 7 wins and 13th in the SEC.
Yeah. Year two though, teamed up with Bobby Petrino. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I've seen Hog fans say it, Steven, this is his Lamar Jackson of Arkansas, which, you know, that may seem silly, but also what if he has that type of year? How high could the Arkansas Razorbacks fly?
Mike, I think if that's the case, then I think you're looking at a team that probably can finish a lot closer to maybe 9-3. You know, I look at their schedule and go, you know, the game against Texas, LSU, that those are going to be difficult. Notre Dame's going to be favored there. But if you take out those games, I could see them, if Taylen Green is that type of player this year, they could hit 8-4, 9-3. That puts you in the top 25. That puts you kind of closer to that, you know, tier with Tennessee and Oklahoma in the SEC. So I do think on a very big picture level, Arkansas is one of those teams that is a little bit hard to gauge, just given the turnover and given the heavy reliance on transfers this year. And also trying not to overrate the impact of potential transfers, as you and I have talked about before. It's often that second year that they really click. So this is an interesting team for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sticking with the A's, how about Alabama? Steven, did they make a big jump year two under Kalen DeBoer?
I think so, Mike. We've got them at number 8 nationally and at number 8 nationally and 4th in the SEC. I think that this team will take a big step forward, make the playoff, and potentially make a run once they get into the playoff. So everything that, you know, when you start studying this team, you try to find a weakness somewhere. I mean, their defense should be one of the best in the country. I think their secondary, you know, it was a question mark coming into the last season, might actually be one of the better groups in college football this year. I think offensively, lot to be optimistic about. Loaded receiving core, good running backs, offensive line with a lot of potential. It all comes down to quarterback play. And I actually don't have that many worries about this team with quarterback play. I think Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb will get quality quarterback play out of Ty Simpson, Russell, or Austin Mack. And I think it's going to be better than what they had last year, than Jalen Milroe provided. So I'm buying this Alabama team. I think they get back to the playoff, and I think that should be the expectation, because if they don't, then we start talking about proof of concept really starting to fade for Kalen DeBoer in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me ask you this, Steven, because I don't know if you saw it, but I was on Feinbaum and I predicted Alabama to win the SEC, and there was a commenter was like, "By God, you idiot! You said quarterback's a question mark. Don't you know football? How in the hell are they gonna win the SEC if it's a question mark?" Well, and again, there's varying degrees of this, right? But if you're not picking Texas, Georgia, or Alabama, I mean, I guess maybe LSU could throw into that conversation. But I really think it's those first three, Georgia, Texas, Alabama. I think most people, if they're being unbiased, would is that fair, do you think, Stephen, to say those three and maybe four if you want to throw in four? But is there anyone in the SEC that you think is realistic that they win the conference this year?
I don't think so. I think it's those four, Mike. I kind of separated them like Texas and Georgia into tier one, and then Alabama, LSU tier two, but not that far behind, essentially. Like, I think those four are your main contenders. On the question of like Alabama's quarterback thing, like, I think you can call it a question mark because it is a first time starter, essentially. And I think even though we feel good about it, we don't know. I mean, it is definitely still a mystery of how good Ty Simpson could be. But at the same time, it's kind of like falling back on track record. You know, I mean, Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, they're, go back to Fresno State. Jake Haener was a different quarterback than Michael Penix, and they made it work. And just given the skill talent, it's almost like Ty Simpson or Russell just needs to be a point guard in that offense. Like, get the ball to Ryan Williams, get it to the, to Bernard and the other receivers. So it is a question mark, but also one of those question marks I feel good about given track record.
Yeah. So I think you nailed it, but I was going to add, fair or not, I think Georgia and Texas, you could just as easily say have question marks. Mm-hmm. Because Ty Simpson, he hasn't played, so people think he sucks. I mean, he was a touted guy, very touted, out of West Tennessee, picked Alabama over Tennessee, Ole Miss. I mean, damn near everybody. He had offers too. And I'm not saying they're the same players, but I know Arch Manning, guys get the football. But again, question, in my mind, he is a question, Stephen. And when I say question, I don't think that like Arch is going to be bad. I think it's foolish to suggest just because his last name, he's so touted. But I also think it's fair to say, if he's number two for the Heisman, I think it's going to be tough to live up to immediately. Like, I think Texas will be really good, but I don't necessarily think Arch Manning is just going to like carve up the SEC immediately. He may do it year two if he even returns. He may go straight to the NFL, but I think he'll be back and that's year two conversation for me. I'm starting to buy into Gunnar Stockton as well. I think he'll have a really good year. But to sit here and say Texas and Georgia are like cemented at quarterback and Alabama's got some loser off the street. And oh, by the way, you mentioned Russell, number one quarterback in the country the last cycle. To say Alabama is just like totally inept at quarterback, I think that is inaccurate. And I think it's similar to what Georgia and Texas have in terms of their entrenched starters and whether these guys are capable of leading their teams to glory. I think it's a similar unknown.
I think that's totally fair. I was also going to throw out that confidence level. Would Alabama rank ahead of Georgia in like confidence level of getting good quarterback play this year? Just because, I mean, I think you trust Brian Grubb and Kalen DeBoer a little bit more, and also the receivers for Alabama are better. I think Mike Bobo's produced a lot of good offenses, but what if it's just really stale? And we saw that last year. Maybe if it's just like things just don't click again. So I think all of your questions are fair, and I think they kind of get to the upside play of this, which is, week one, Arch is going to be thrown into the fire against Ohio State. If he struggles and the expectations are sky high. And so if he struggles, what does that mean during the season? And I think what's the backstop for me for Texas is Sark is just so good at play calling. He's so good at putting quarterbacks in the right plays. The receivers for Texas are going to be great again. So I think, I feel pretty good about the confidence level there. I think you could say the same thing about Simpson, but I think, Georgia too. The question is like, what's the level of like upside here? Is it like are they the 5th, 6th, 7th best quarterbacks in the SEC, or are they number 1, 2, 3? Kind of like some people could predict, Arch could be one and Simpson could be, maybe fringe SEC contender if things break right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rounding out the A's, Stephen. Auburn. Where does Athlon got this Jekyll and Hyde program.
Mike has been waiting all year for this prediction because big Hugh
15.
Freeze.
Tell me 15.
We've got him at 11 and 31 nationally. Very much in consideration, like Missouri, to be a top 25 team this year. I know some people are really buying Auburn stock. I'm not quite there yet. I will buy that they will be better and meet that Hugh Freeze kind of offseason prediction that they need to get to a bowl game. I'll buy that. I think they get to that kind of 25-35 range. I think what you think, the first thing that comes to mind about Auburn is they're just hard to figure out. They had a -9 turnover margin last year. They were 1-5 in games decided by 10 points or less. And so typically when you see that, it swings back the other way. You swing to like a positive turnover margin and sort of better luck in close games. The reason why I bring that up is that's an easy thing. If Auburn was 5-7 last year, they could go 7-5 this year. They're automatically better. Jackson Arnold is the biggest wild card to me here. If he is really good in this offense, then we are way too low on them. They could finish in the top 25. Love the receiving core. One of the best in college football, I think. Keldrick Falk also, I think, one of the most underrated defensive linemen in the SEC and certainly college football this season. So thinking better, but maybe not top 25 good for Auburn this year.
Mm-hmm. And I would assume, just based on Athlon's predictions, Oklahoma and Missouri loom large for Auburn in terms of where their final standings. I mean, let's say Auburn beats Oklahoma, they beat Missouri, then they're probably having a really nice year. But if they lose to those, that could dictate the type of season. Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely. And that's kind of when I broke these teams into tiers, is trying to sort out some of these swing games is really difficult, because if you change sort of how you feel one way or the other, and heck, I might do that here in a couple months as we get closer to kickoff. But you're right. You know, Oklahoma on the road early in the season, Jackson Arnold going back to Norman. It's a huge game for Oklahoma as well. Kind of gives us a good gauge of where those two teams are. And then getting Missouri. If you know, when you start looking at like standings and sorting out, I think there's a lot of like 4-4s here in the SEC, and a swing game like that one could determine whether Missouri or Auburn finishes higher.
All right, Steven, I'm going to start by saying, how dare you? Where you got Vanderbilt? Come on. Quit sleeping on them doors.
Mike, we got them 14th in the SEC, 40th nationally. So one spot behind Arkansas. I think you could flip these two teams, Arkansas and Vanderbilt. It wouldn't surprise me if Diego Pavia makes me look like a complete idiot come November and Vanderbilt exceeds this preseason expectation. I do think the challenge for Vanderbilt is I think they're a better team than last year. I also think they won't sneak up on people. And with the revamped offensive line, the schedule was hard. It wouldn't surprise me if they just get to 6-6. And considering the over-under is sitting there at 4.5, they would be exceeding kind of the Vegas expectations. I mean, this schedule is very difficult. Getting, you know, three teams I have projected in the top 10, Tennessee top 25, Auburn, Missouri, South Carolina could be in that mix as well. So I just think it's a difficult schedule. If you think Vanderbilt exceeds it, its defense gets a little bit better, offensive line isn't a problem, and Pavia just does some magic, pulls off a couple upsets, and Vanderbilt finishes a lot closer to the top 25.
Steve is going to learn about that Diego Pavia magic. I think there's a real opportunity they do it again. I think people are going to discount, like Steve, they're going to discount Vanderbilt. I think I'm going to pick them a lot higher than that. So I'm glad you're going, so I can skewer your predictions.
It's good that I go first to right. Get all the pushback, and then Mike can come in and look like the good guy before SEC media days and fix all of my mistakes here.
I feel like Cousin Shane, whenever I do one like this, he's like, I got them a little bit higher. He's got all 16 higher. Like, that's not literally possible. But what team I'm not higher on? Sorry. Kentucky, just through process of elimination, number 15. Am I correct there, Steven?
That is correct, Mike. Kentucky is 15th in my rankings, and also just inside the top 50 as a power ranking overall at number 46. You know, tough to evaluate. Mike, you and I have talked about this all offseason that, you know, that Ole Miss game saved them from a winless record in SEC play last year, just 1-7. I struggled, and I hate to say this, I really struggled to find a ton of reasons to be optimistic about this team. I do like the running backs. I think that is a spot Kentucky can lean on, but that also requires Kentucky to get back to being a good offensive line. Like, offensive, defensive line plays got to get better. You know, they gave up almost 6 yards of play on defense last year in the SEC. So those areas where typically Kentucky has been strong, trenches, defense, it wasn't there last year. There's a lot of turnover. You're relying on a lot of transfers, including Zach Calzada at quarterback. So there's just a lot of mystery for me in Kentucky, and I see a lot of weaknesses in a very difficult schedule, and they were pretty much an easy pick at 15.
I don't know if you've seen it, Steven, but Cousin Shane has vowed to do a 12-hour shift in the coal mines if Kentucky goes 4-0. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it Shea's going to have to work in that coal mine for 12 hours?
I'm going to go on the lower end of that one. I'm going to go like 2, because I would not be surprised if Toledo gives Kentucky all it can handle in week one, and then mm-hmm. you get the two SEC games in there, Ole Miss and South Carolina, where they're likely to be an underdog.
Right. And just if you're listening back later, Toledo at home, Ole Miss at home, Eastern Michigan at home, you get a bye week and then you're at South Carolina. So I think it's far more likely Kentucky's probably 2-2. But all of a sudden, Steven, I'm rooting for Kentucky to go 4-0 just to get this man down in the coal mines. You know what?
He might be breathing a massive sigh of relief if Toledo wins that first game. Cousin Shane, noted Toledo Rockets fan.
And as Cousin Ken points out, Kentucky's got Lane Whiffen Kiffin's number. So, yeah, don't forget that. You know what?
The coach scouting in our magazine, Mike, it definitely they've definitely somebody adopted the Whiffen moniker there for Kiffin. They were buying into Mike's nickname.
All right. So, hey, we went through all 16. Let me recap it real quick. Texas won. Steven's got the Longhorns winning the national championship. Number 2, Georgia. Number 3, LSU. Number 4, Alabama. Number 5, Florida. Number 6, South Carolina. Number 7, Ole Miss. Number 8, Texas A&M. Number 9, Oklahoma. Number 10, Tennessee. How dare you, Steven? Number 11, Auburn. 12, Mizzou. 13, Arkansas. 14, Vanderbilt. 15, Kentucky. And 16, Mississippi State. Can you also, Steven, share with us Athlon's college football playoff predictions?
I'm having to do these a little bit on the fly, I have to admit, because the seeding change, I haven't had a chance to actually update it from then. So I am doing this a little bit on the fly. So the first round would be Clemson and Boise State, Notre Dame and Kansas State, and then also predict LSU and Miami, and also Alabama playing Oregon in the first Ooh. Round with Texas and Georgia getting the byes. And I will take Texas to win it all, and they will either play Penn State, Ohio State, or Georgia. That's kind of my early prediction. But I feel good about the Longhorns hoisting the national championship.
All right. Yeah. So this is, again, I always like to credit this because this is, you know, the college football encyclopedia over here, Stephen Lass, was the first one to point it out. And everybody came around years later, like they typically do, to one of Stephen's takes. But he said it. As soon as they went to this 12, he said, okay, just wait for the seedings. The seedings going to be a huge issue. So that is kind of funny that they adjusted the seeding, but they did it so late on, Stephen. He didn't have time to adjust here. But, you know, thankfully, that's going to make the college football playoff better. And it's pretty wild to hear Texas and Georgia get the buys. But if you earn it, that's the way it should be. And had they done it like this last year, they both would have gotten buys. Tennessee would have gotten a home game in the first round, wouldn't have got spanked by Ohio State, as it should have been. I guess one Tennessee massacre is all it takes, Stephen, to fix the damn playoff. You know what?
That's what it was, right? It was Cousin Shane's post game rant after Tennessee. I actually just did the math on the rest of them, and apologies because our magazine hit the newsstands, I think, the day the seating changed, and it just dawned on me that I needed to change it. So if my math is correct, which is always a little iffy, that our projections would play out to having Texas and Georgia play in a semifinal and Penn State and Ohio State. So here we go again. Big 10, Big 10, SEC, SEC. So Texas and Georgia three times with some quarters being Texas, Clemson. Saw that last year. Penn State, LSU. That's pretty interesting. Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Georgia, Clemson. Could be important. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think the reason I love college football so much, Steven, I bet a lot of the cousins too. You know, we could sit here and predict and project and this, that, and the other. But Saturday, wild things occur, and that's why I love it, because it's so unpredictable. So it's a challenge to try to project all this stuff. So I just want to thank you for coming on, breaking this all down. It's in such in depth. I can't imagine how much work you put into doing this, but I'm glad I'm not you.
Yeah, I could. Do you want to know anything about New Mexico State or Kent State right about now? I could like break down like the starting 22, but no, I know SEC Mike doesn't have any interest in that, but I think you said something really important, which is, you know, unpredictability. And I think we know like less about these teams than ever before because of the portal, because of NIL, which makes for a lot more unpredictability during the season. It makes it harder for guys like me and you to make predictions, but at the same time, I think you'll see more volatility during the season, but not a ton of separation between one and like nine or so, 10 through like probably 20, and then 21 through 35 or so. Not really a ton of separation. It's very wide open at the top for a couple different teams to win it, which, you know, maybe a little bit more wide open than we've seen, which again gets at, I think, maybe the unpredictability, volatility that we'll see this year, which makes it even more exciting.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steven, before you go, can you remind the cousins, if they didn't catch it before, how can they go and purchase the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine online?
Yeah, you go to your newsstand or grocery store or your bookstore. That's the first option. It's available nationwide. But really, the option I would really push is to go to athlonsports.com. At the very top, there's a link to magazines. You click on that, it takes you to our store. College football is one of the first ones available. We've got two SEC covers, Lenora Sellers, DJ Lagway, Boo Carter, Gunnar Stockton on one, and then Arch Manning and some other guys from sort of the western edge of the conference on the other edition. So two different covers, athlonsports.com and magazines. That'll take you to our store. You can pick it up there.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to put a comment as soon as this is done. I'm going to pin it to this video. Go support Steve and all the hard work, the countless hours. I had to hear about it off air, how much work he put into this thing. It's the greatest thing out there. And you know, college football's right around the corner, Steven. When you finally get that magazine, that Athlon Sports College Football Preview in your hands, it gears me up every summer for college football. Can't thank you enough for the time. But that's going to do it for this episode. Cousin Shane, if he's not on the golf course, he'll be back on the next episode. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.